Aquarius, Libra, Leo, Cancer,
Taurus,
Ralph, Charles, Paul, Larry,
and Kenny. Good morning, podcast audience. This is your podcaster, Ken Hodge. Just trying to slow things down. Because what I got to talk to you about today, yeah, it's going to cause my voice to elevate just a little bit. But today's message, I want you to know that Ken Hodge is always on the front line fighting for employee rights. And what I want to talk to you about today is I'm aware that even though or although we're in what most consider a liberal leave policy with respect to discipline during this time, with respect to changes of schedule, with respect to management just being very lenient in how they apply the attendance policies, which was, and this leniency is something that was agreed upon at the headquarters level. But let me tell you what's happening with it at our level. Our level being the local level, the plant level, the level where they just haphazardly changed headquarters guidance. In my opinion. Hey, listen, I approached headquarters with an issue that I know it's not only real in Columbus, but I know it's real everywhere else. And chime right in on this if it fits your office. My issue to headquarters was, how is it that we can have a liberal leave policy? We have understandings between unions that there's not going to be attendance or disciplinary or corrective action taken using attendance during such and such of periods, but post office, particularly Columbus, Ohio, does not follow that. Now let me tell you something. They can say whatever it is they want to say, but as an EEO person, and I represent, if you get into any issue during your probationary period, whether you be a clerk or a mail handler, 9 times out of 10, you're going to end up talking to Ken Hodge. That's just kind of how it is right now, because I'm the only one doing redress in EEO at this time, but we've got another young man fastly approaching. So I sit in redress. I watch employees, PSEs, mail handlers, get dismissed or terminated from positions, or as Columbus likes to say, we'll give you the opportunity to resign. hold on, let me grab my earlobes and woo-saw real quick. Woo-saw. Woo-saw. I mean, because I have to take a step back. I think it's just god-awful crazy that Columbus management bring new people in, provide no leadership, provide no direction. They do absolutely nothing to team build. They provide no mentoring, no coaching, no development, but will turn around and poke their chest out and flex their muscle and then terminate you and take a job away from you. Nobody sees the dichotomy in that.
The contrast.
I come to work for a company, your supervisor can't train me. So how am I supposed to learn? Well, I'm going to learn from whoever will converse with me. Because it's not going to be the supervisor, but yet they maintain that air of arrogance that they will take jobs from people. and I know I got off on a little bit of a tangent, but that brings me right back to, as an EEO advisor, advocate, I sit in meetings, I watch countless employees terminated during their probationary period because of attendance, and we're in a liberal leave policy, a liberal leave environment. I watch employees get terminated because they listen to the top managers in Columbus, Ohio, who stood on the floor with a microphone to make sure that their voice was heard, and told employees over and over and over again, if you do not feel well, do not come to work. And when they followed those instructions, countless PSCs and MHAs were terminated. And then we want to look at them and say they had bad work habits. No, not at all. If we are working in a pandemic and you're new to an organization, you're new to the post office, and the person you understand to be the top or second to the top stands in a public area and tell you not to come to work, and then you don't come to work and they fire you, and now they try to justify that, which brings me to where we are right now. Like I started off by saying, I contacted headquarters because I'm watching a lot of discipline, a lot of removals being given to people, being taken upon people because of attendance. I contacted headquarters. Headquarters sent it back down to Kelly Patterson, human resource manager. Now, let me tell you something. Ms. Patterson responded to me because what they did was what they call an investigation into an allegation. Now, come on now. They spoke to the attendance control officer, and they were, and the attendance control officer talked about interviews and investigations are being required. Those investigations were performed by the supervisor and determined if corrective action was warranted. Let me just address that for a minute. When the supervisor did their investigation, meaning you went over and looked at a 3972 and decided that corrective action was warranted, are you using absences that occurred during the period of leniency? See, I'm not saying that. And so when Ms. Patterson responds back to headquarters, she's going to respond back incorrectly but truthfully based on the information that she's given or based on the questions that were asked. They also contacted the Step 2 representative in Columbus. And that canned response was, he assures all parties that discipline cases were handled in accordance with the policies, procedures, and COVID-19 MOUs presented by the service during this pandemic. Listen to me very carefully. At least 4 cases, I know that not to be true because I'm involved in those cases. I sat in a case and heard a young man say, I did not come to work because the senior MDO told me not to come to work, and that mattered not to the supervisor and the MDO, who still went ahead and took that gentleman's job. Point I'm making is I am raising issues at the headquarters level, and some of the issues that they find valid are being looked into, but this is the response that they're getting to send back to headquarters. And let me tell you something, nothing could be further from the truth, and I'm going to respond to headquarters and let them know that. Now, this is not going to be an instance where there's a canned response given and we check the block. No, a lot of postal employees no longer have jobs because this liberal leave policy was not adhered to by the Postal Service, and I only work in Columbus, so I'm only talking about Columbus right now. But if the shoe fits in your plant, put it on and let's dance a step or two. Now, I know a lot of you are at that stage where most employees have already become comfortable with accepting the fact that the post office is just not going to abide by it. I'm here to tell you, I'm not in that group. And it doesn't make it right or wrong, depending on what side you're on. But the side I stand on is, here's a policy that it appears to me and to quite a few others that's not being adhered to. And I think, at least from my position, from this microphone and my ability to speak in mass media, Columbus, Ohio don't get a free ride on this. And when I say they don't get a free ride, I'm going to continue to bring this subject up, and I'm going to bring it up with enough repetition that it is my hope that somebody from headquarters hears one of the podcasts and at least take the time to investigate on a for real level. Let's not investigate just to have a canned response to say we investigated. Come down, take a look, talk to some people. Because I'm telling you, there are quite a few postal employees currently not employed because the Columbus, Ohio Post Office and quite a few other postal facilities are not adhering to what most consider a liberal leave policy. And let me tell you, when I say most consider it because it was signed off by now the current Deputy Postmaster General, Douglas Tolino. Now, I don't know how much higher you want to go. So if you have a signature of that caliber on a document and the guidance isn't being followed, why would we think as consumers now that anything else is being followed? I mean, you got to remember, Mr. Tolino is second from the top. If his guidance isn't being followed, why would any other vice president's or district manager's guidance be followed? Does that make sense? I said that once again, if his guidance isn't being followed. And from my opinion, or in my opinion, and from what I see happening to quite a few postal employees, it's not being followed. You see, when we talk about the liberal leave policy, there are quite a few people who want to say employees take advantage of it. Well, let me tell you something, and this is a direct statement. So what? So what? And let me explain that. When I say so what, if the post office puts a policy in place, and for whatever means, those who are going to connive or be slick, there's nothing you're going to do to stop that. But if they connive or are slick enough to get the documentation to meet the requirement, then go have it. Have at it. I don't have time to worry about that. I mean, does that make sense? So, you know, Bobby might know Billy playing a game, but if the game Billy is playing meets the postal requirement, well, that's on Billy. Does that make sense? So I'm not going to sit around talking about Billy. The post office said, I need ABC. Billy provided ABC. And it was good enough, so let that be. So when we talk about people are going to take advantage, I want to also say there is nothing in this life that somebody don't take advantage of. Yeah, you think about it, and when you find out what it is, you tell me. So this is just another one of those things. And let me say this to be very honest with you. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying it's going to be. When you have the hundreds of thousands of employees that the United States Postal Service have, if anybody thinks that everything is going to be on the square and level, come on, rethink that. So I'm just talking to you as it actually is. So again, we can relax with saying, well, there's going to be people who take advantage of the system. In most businesses, believe it or not, they've already calculated that, and that's built into the budget. Now, they may build it in as additional sick leave usage or additional whatever, but trust and believe, it's built in there. I mean, there's a little what they call fluff. And to close the podcast out, I want to announce to all the MHAs that are being converted as of this last memorandum of understanding, which gave a cutoff date of August 14th. Again, I'm only speaking to the MHAs that are being converted as of the latest memorandum of conversion. I went to your branch president today in Columbus Branch, Local 304, and asked him to file a grievance on your behalf. And I cited to him or stated that if the intent of this conversion, as per our national president and the president of labor relations, vice president of labor relations, if the intent was to have all MHAs be converted in place, and Columbus, Ohio is attempting to circumvent that memorandum of understanding by moving MHAs before they convert them, I asked the branch president to file a grievance because I am of the opinion that if they move you and we prevail or successful on this grievance, any MHA that is moved will be entitled to out-of-schedule premium. And let me tell you, that is going to be a nice sum of money. Again, any MHA that is a part of the conversion that is to take place no later than August 14th, if you are moved, please be aware that I asked the branch president to file a grievance on your behalf so that if you are moved and we are successful with this grievance, you will be entitled to out-of-schedule premium for every day and every hour you work that was outside of the schedule which you've worked since you were hired. Let's have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you when I talk to you.